You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You're listening to episode number 25 of Living the Dream with Rory O'Malley. If you like the podcast, remember to subscribe, rate, and review.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
Hey there, dreamers. Rory O'Malley here. Welcome to Living the Dream. Thank you so much for listening. My guest today is Ofra Hines, who is in the ensemble of Hamilton, the Hamiltour in San Francisco. She is incredible. She's so talented, stunningly beautiful, and just an incredibly sweet person. I am so happy that I got to sit down with her and get to know her better. This is like one of the first times where I really didn't know a lot about the person that I was interviewing, other than the fact that she was incredibly talented and did her job very well. But, you know, I don't get a lot of interaction with the rest of the cast because, you know, I'm down in the basement dressing room in solitary confinement while everyone's working hard on stage. So to get to have this chance to talk with her was awesome. She studied at Alvin Ailey and then went into Wicked. She was in the original company of In the Heights. So many good stories about that. But really, what I was so excited to talk to her about, Ofra is a rockette, and I just think that's awesome. She kind of deals with me freaking and fanning out about her being a rockette, but that's pretty remarkable. She has got a really good perspective. She's loving being a part of the cast of Hamilton, and she's just living on that stage. She's also doing a lot of really good work. She immediately did outreach to a charity, to a nonprofit in San Francisco, and got us involved with them, and I have such respect for her. I hope that you enjoy getting to know her better. I certainly did myself. This is my conversation with Ofra Hines.
Hi, Ofra.
Hi, Rory.
Thank you for joining me on Living the Dream.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk with you because there are a lot of people in this tour, in this Hamiltour, who I've kind of known, who I've met, but we've never worked with each other.
Mm-mm.
We've never gotten to really know each other before being in this tour, so I'm looking forward to kind of getting to know you better.
Yeah.
Just by sitting down and talking.
Yeah.
And I've already gotten to do a little bit of research, and I'm already...
Oh, no.
Well, you know, I mean, it's you know, I wanted to know where we could go with this conversation, and I think you've had such an interesting career.
Yeah.
And a path to get there. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up a lot of places. I lived in Florida until I was 7, and then Massachusetts, Framingham, Massachusetts, until I was 14, and then New York. So lots of places. But I moved to New York with my mom when I was 14, so that's really like where I spent my formative years. So I feel like a New Yorker, but...
Yeah. But you've got, you know.
But none of my family, well, my mom is in New York still. But,
she is.
But none of my other family is in New York. So.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And what brought you to New York? Was that just...
I wanted to go to a performing arts high school. So we looked at one in Florida and one in New York. But also, I think my mom also wanted to change too. So it like worked out perfectly. We were able to move and I got to go to New York.
Was it just you and your mom?
Me and my mom, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Me and my mom, too.
And it was crazy. We moved to New York, and we got to New York in October, so school had already started, and I didn't know where I was going to go.
Really?
Yeah. So we got there, and we, like, visited a whole bunch of different schools, not even performing arts schools, just, like, random schools. And we ended up finding PPAS, which is on 48th and 8th.
And PPAS,
Professional Performing Arts School.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I ended up going there, which is great. It's worked out perfectly.
Great. And so you go to a performing arts school in New York City. Is that intense? Is it like really competitive? Is it?
Well, for me, it was just like the best thing. So I had been going to a regular high school.
She gave the quote sign regular.
And so I was doing regular school, and then I was doing dance and gymnastics at this time. So I had, like, no life, and none of my friends could understand why I was, like, never able to hang out, because I would take a train into Boston after school. So all my time was taken up doing things that my normal friends didn't understand. Yeah. So when I got to New York and started going to a performing arts high school, it was like everybody was like me. We all knew like what training was. And
They got it.
And like you. I remember walking down the hallway and hearing someone singing in the hallway. And I was like, oh my gosh, this place is like magical. So
that does sound like a dream.
It was.
Like if I went to an all boys Catholic high school, if everyone was singing down the hallways.
Yeah,
I would have had a very different experience.
Yeah.
So do you think that really kind of formed you as an artist or like – or?
Part of the reason we moved to New York was because I knew that I wanted to dance.
Right.
But I'd never seen a Broadway show. Like I didn't
– You'd never seen one even like touring?
No.
Wow.
I was in my head. Well, originally I wanted to be an Olympic gymnast. Like that was my first goal. And then I thought I might want to be a physical therapist because I wanted to be around performers. I didn't realize that you could do it and like as a job. So I thought, oh, I'll do it. If, like I'll be around people who are.
I'll be around them, but I'll be the one who gets paid.
Right. Exactly. Sorry. What was the question?
Just that you went to an all. Like, that's all you did all day long. I just wonder if that, like, if it draws you closer to doing it, or were there other students that you were with? Obviously, you ended up being a performer.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it all the time, every day, I didn't go to a performing arts high school. I'm sure a lot of, like, younger people are deciding if that's something that they should be doing or not.
Yeah.
Yes, it's fun to go to high school and be performing,
yeah,
but does it make you sometimes be like, ugh, I'm over this?
I mean, for me, honestly, I think it kind of saved me. Like, I had a difficult teenage years, difficult teenage years. So for me, it was like I go into class, and that was like the place where I didn't think about anything else. Like, it really was, I think, helped me get through some difficult years, and
right.
So I never felt tired of it. And I wanted to be an Olympic gymnast until I broke my wrist. And then...
How did you break your wrist?
I was just tumbling. We were warming up. I think it was, like, open practice. So I would have practice with my team. And then there was, like, a certain day where you could come and just work on whatever you wanted.
Right.
And I was just warming up. And we... part of our warm-up would be just round off 3 back handsprings. Not hard, like it's
a warm-up. That's not hard. I can totally do that.
And I just decided in the middle, like I did one, and I remember thinking, I don't feel like doing the other two, but you can't stop. Like once you have to make up your mind.
You can't freeze in the air.
Yeah, so I ended up going and like sort of landing weird on my wrist, and then it was like totally misshapen. But anyway, I'm too tall to be a gymnast anyway. So it worked out. And then I decided that I thought I wanted to be like a company dancer,
right,
or like a commercial dancer, like dancing backup for like Madonna or somebody.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about musical theater at all. We came to visit New York one time, and I saw, I think Rent was the first musical I saw, and I didn't like it. Because I was like, there's not enough dancing.
Yeah,
I don't really like what's going on.
You're like, where's the thing that I do?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I have to say, I saw it again later, and I loved it, of course.
Sure.
Who doesn't love Rent? But when I first saw it, I didn't really get it, and I was like, And then I went to see Fosse, and that was more my style.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I like that.
There's your
entry
point
into the world. I still didn't think, oh, that's what I want to do. So
yeah,
but
So you went through 4 years of high school there, and then did you?
Well, I did my last 2 years of high school at a performing arts. I went to 3 different high schools, but my last two in New York at PBAS.
Got it.
And then I was going to go to Fordham University and
Jesuit
do their
school.
ALE program. And I ended up just deferring and deferring, and then I started working. So
just working and working.
Didn't end up going. which is cool because I don't have student loans now.
Yeah, that's nice. I just finished paying mine off. I should say my single mother just finished paying off mine a month ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was not a few years ago. Yeah. It was more than a few years ago. So, yeah, no, you definitely got to miss out on those crazy loans. Do you feel like, obviously, especially for a dancer, getting out into starting a career at a younger age it's important because being a dancer and being young is like, it's prime of your career,
right? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I never thought about it, but I remember I went to see, a friend of mine was doing Wicked, so I went to see that show, and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be in this show. So I never really thought about age or anything like that, but now I'm one of the older ensemble members here at Hamilton, so now I'm noticing it more.
Yeah, oh, hey, I'm the oldest person on that stage, so, you know.
I don't know.
Oh, I am. Oh, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. But, yeah, but, I mean, that is, you know, it's a difficult thing. I've seen a lot of dancers kind of make that decision about going to college, staying in college, when jobs are coming at you and when you're being offered the chance to do what you would be going to college to do.
Yeah.
So you really kind of have, you have to kind of let life and the business be your college, be your education.
Well, I definitely was sort of a rebel. I had, so after I left high school, I wasn't, this was during that time when I was like, kept postponing the Ford MBFA thing. But I was doing the professional division at Ailey, and I booked this like little play, and I wanted to do it so badly, and it like conflicted with some of my classes. And I remember going into the office, and like the people doing the play write a little note, and like I brought in the flyer, and I was like, I really want to do this play. Can you please switch one of my classes? And they were not about it. They were like, this is your training. You have to stick to this. And I just left. I left. And my friends were like, Afra, there are neon signs on the hallway like, Afra Hines, come to the office. I just left. I was like, I'm doing this play. It's what I want to do.
Right.
And I sort of just did
and
what
happened? So you mean, when you say you left, like went and did the show.
Yeah. I like quit the program.
Wow.
Unofficially. Because I never like said, okay, I hear what you're saying, I'm leaving. I literally just, and this is part of being young and like, you know, a little bit crazy. I just left the program and did the play and heard through my friends that they were pissed.
Through the friends.
Yeah, they were like, Afra, there's signs on the wall. I don't know if they called my house or not. I wonder. I never asked my mom about it. But I literally just left the program, did the play. And, you know, I'm a rebel like that, I guess. But
well,
it worked out.
you, it's funny because the chances that you take when you're younger, you know, you know what the consequences are. You know how difficult things are. So now...
Yeah. Right.
So it's a lot harder to take those kinds of chances.
Yeah, I would never do that now.
Yeah.
But they're so sweet. Like, I've run into a couple of the teachers since then, and they're so nice and supportive. But yeah, it was...
Yeah, it happens all the time. I'm sure it happens all the time to them. That's a maybe unique experience of why you left. But, like, being able to, you know, step away from an institution, even if it's, as, like, well-known and wonderful as Alvin Ailey, I think is... It's kind of, it's courageous.
You have to like know what you want, you know, and like follow your own guidance to a certain, you know.
Well, because I think that sometimes people think that if you finish a program or you finish a degree or you finish some school, that that's the key that you're going to be given then to all the things that you need.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not telling anyone to leave school if you don't want to. But what I would say is, like, you do have to constantly trust your own intuition, your own gut. And clearly, you knew that at a young age.
Yeah, I really wanted to do this play.
That was a hell of a play. What was that play?
It was called Daisy in the Dreamtime. And I think it was at Abington Theater Company. I think that's what it's called. and it was, I was like the only non-equity person in it. And I remember they had an equity meeting and like, they were like, you can't be at this meeting. And
I've been in it. Yeah, yeah. They send you off to the side of the room.
Yeah, but it was, I just really craved doing stuff like that. You know, like I wanted to do a show and I, and
it sounds like you are just like, had so many different kinds of interests between gymnastics, dancing, and like if you wanted to be acting in a play, you know, like nothing was going to stop you.
Yeah. And my mom is like, she's always been really supportive of not the normal way, like of doing things your own way, of finding a way. If you don't think it's possible, there's always a way to like find a way. So I think I get a little bit of that, like, I want to go do this play. I'm going to go do it.
That's huge. I mean, that's huge. Like, I think that that's kind of, you know, the opposite for me, where my mom was like in the same job for 40 years. Everything that I've done in this business has been like, oh my God, I can't even imagine. Does your agent know? She was asked if my agent knows that I'm going to do something. I'm like, Mom, my agent works for me. I don't have to get permission. You know, like she wants me to have a boss that's happy.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that sometimes is something I have to move away from.
Yeah.
On my own is because I'm in a different business. I'm not in accounting.
Yeah.
And it must have been very empowering to have a mom who was like, you do the thing that your heart is leading you towards.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you do a play. It's a smash success. Wonderful move. But you start to get into musical theater at that point, right?
I did Wicked. That was my first music theater show in, I think it was 2006.
Okay.
Or 7. Somewhere around there.
Okay.
But yeah, I saw my friend Dominique was in it.
Mm.
I went to see it and I loved it. And I thought that's what I want to do. So then I started auditioning. And I had an agent already, but my agent didn't know that I could sing, and they sort of saw me as a commercial dancer. I don't even know if they knew that I had been trained. Like,
Isn't that funny, though? Like, that happens all the time. Just like, not just with dancers who can sing or not, but people who represent you don't really know what you
can. Well, but it's also me. Like, it was Clear Talent Group, and they had just opened an office in New York. So they had an audition, and they had a day for dancers, and it was like the first session was technical dance, and the second section was like hip hop commercial. And I didn't want to get up early, so I went to the hip hop commercial one, and that's how it happened.
That's how I've made half of my decisions in this industry.
So they were sending me out for, like, music videos and, like, award shows, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then on my own, I auditioned for the Radio City Christmas Spectacular, and I ended up getting that as a Rockette. So I think that
More about that.
So I think when they heard that I got that job, they thought, oh, well, she can, like, dance not just hip-hop.
Then
they started sending me to music theater stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how it always happens, though. Obviously, it's up to us to kind of tell our agent what we can and can't do.
And I'm still learning that, like, now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you have to sort of advocate for yourself.
Yes.
And show people what you want them to see.
Yes. They aren't going to – you don't sign up with an agent or anyone, and they just, like, constantly call you up, like, let's discuss what else we can brainstorm of what is going to be your future.
Right.
You have to be the one doing that and letting them know what it
is. And literally just, like, maybe a year ago is literally the first time that I started thinking, oh, I should be, like, standing up for myself and, like, saying – what I want out of the agent-client relationship, you know?
Yeah, because if you don't, how are they going
to
know? How will they know? Okay, so you brought up the Rockettes. We are going to get into that. I'm obsessed with that. I love the Rockettes. Obviously, I'm an American. What was your experience with the Rockettes? How did you get involved with them?
So, again, I didn't know anything about the Rockettes because I'm not from New York. So I used to go and get backstage in print. It came out on Thursdays, and I would go to the newspaper stand on, like, 86th and first.
Yes, this is one of the yes, things that we can bond
and get
with
the paper.
About being
yes,
the older
yes,
generation
the
of Hamilton.
Actual paper and like highlighting auditions. So I'm pretty sure I heard about it in one of those, and I went to an open call. And then in those days, I don't think they still do it. I don't know or not that they had a diversity program.
Right.
So they saw me in the open call. I didn't get the job, but they invited me to this diversity thing where they invited people. And it was sort of like a two or three day workshop with a fake audition at the end. What are they called? Not a fake audition, but, you know.
An
as-if audition. Not really.
Okay.
Just to give you pointers and whatever. So I did that, and that was great. It was 2 or 3 days. And then they gave me some pointers, and I took those pointers to heart, and I really worked on it, and I came back, and then I did get the job. But yeah, just open call situation. And then I remember calling my agent and like being nervous to tell them, like, would they be okay with this, that I got this job on my own? And
right.
Yeah, so.
And were they?
They weren't. They were very supportive.
That's great.
Yeah, so, I
That's
mean.
That's great.
Of course.
And what was it like? Being a rockette. I mean,
so
it's a lot of shows. It's a lot of work.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I think that it was my first, like, real long-term job. Like, I'd done, like, gigs and stuff, but this was my first, like, job. I think it is, like, 3 or 4 months at the time that I started. So I think it was, like, a really good first job because it's so intense.
Yeah.
Like, so intense. And there's, you know, we have numbers on every stage. But they also have depths. So it's like the stage is a grid. So you have to know your number and depth all the time. And it's like so precise. And there's a real tradition. And so there's women who have been rockettes for a long time. So all of it, I think, is such a good first job because it really is like, if you can handle that, you can handle pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful that that was sort of my entry into shows.
I can't even imagine how much you would learn just from those generations of women.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that it's like all women.
Yeah.
I just love the institution of the Rockettes because I think that history and that, I don't know, it's pretty.
And also miraculous. Just like, it's like, you know, now they have a spring show and they have full-time Rockettes and all this stuff. But when I did it, it was just the Christmas show.
Yeah.
And so it felt like this, like, marathon. Like, you were exhausted, but by the end of the season, you just felt like you, like, had climbed this mountain.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, and there's like, an end point of the end of the season. So it's so much work and it's so intense and you're all together in Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're done.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's different when you're in a Broadway show where you either don't know when it will end or you don't know, like, you don't know if it could end tomorrow.
Right.
So it's like a defined moment in time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're a Rockette. And you'll always be a Rockette.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so cool. So you were in Wicked and, that was your first time in a musical.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they hired me as a universal swing.
Oh.
And I didn't know, I had never been in a Broadway show. I'd never been a swing. I didn't know even like,
there's
really
probably a lot
of
people who don't know what a universal swing is.
Right.
Could you
So Universal Swing, and we have them for Hamilton as well.
Sure.
So it's shows that have multiple companies. They have people who know parts in all the shows so that if someone takes a vacation or gets injured, that person can fly to whatever city that show is in and go into that show.
Yeah.
So they hired me as a Universal Swing. But thankfully, my first, like, job was in New York. So I spent 3 months in the Broadway company.
Wow.
Which was great. There were some really nice people there who sort of like took me under their wing. Lorianne Ferrari.
Oh, really?
She was like, this is how you do a swing book. And like, cause I had no clue. I was 19, didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I remember for my put in rehearsal, I wasn't even doing things full out. I had no idea. No idea.
So you were like, you were I in was like costume, sort of everyone else.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, they're marking.
But yeah. I was like so lost in sauce. But yeah, so I did the 3 months in the Broadway company, and then they offered me a track in the Chicago company. So I was no longer a Universal Swing. I think they probably were like, she should have her own track and not be a swing. So they put me in my own track in Chicago. And I loved it. I was there for 7 months in Chicago.
Wow.
So.
And was the net, when did In the Heights?
In the Heights happened. So I took a leave of absence from Wicked to go do the Christmas show.
Uh-huh.
And while I was in New York doing the Christmas show, I found out about In the Heights.
Right.
So Wicked was very nice because I didn't even give them a 4-week notice. Right. So they were really nice and let me go. And I didn't have to move back to Chicago because I had given up my apartment and everything. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, the stars really aligned there. Yeah. But how did In the Heights just come out of nowhere? Like,
I auditioned for In the Heights at – I don't even remember – I don't remember my first audition for In the Heights, which is so embarrassing because I remember Stephanie Clemens. She was like, I remember that audition. And I don't remember it. I don't know why.
Stephanie Clemens, who is our associate choreographer on Hamilton and was a part of In the Heights. And
I don't know how I don't remember it, but I auditioned for it. I do remember being in Chicago and flying to New York for an audition, like a callback or something.
Right.
But yeah, I remember hearing the music for In the Heights.
Yeah, because it had been off Broadway.
Right, exactly.
And you were auditioning for the Broadway company.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't open yet.
Yeah.
So it was like the move to Broadway.
Sure.
And there was some fans in Chicago who had seen the off Broadway In the Heights.
Right.
And they snuck me a CD.
What?
Of the music. Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. And so I remember listening to the music and being like, I have to do this show.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's crazy is, like, that's how I felt about Wicked. That's how I felt about In the Heights.
You just hear things and you're like, I have to do it, and then you do it?
It's like, if something speaks to me, you know, like, Wicked, it was, like, the quality of movement and just, like, how funny it is, and, like, I just loved everything about it.
Well, I have a lot of things speak to me. I don't get in it the next day.
I know.
That's amazing, though. I mean, I know what you're saying, because when I would say, like, when my first Broadway show was Spelling Bee, and it was when I saw that in previews, I was like, this show is my show.
Yeah.
And not to be like, this is all mine, but you see it and you feel like it's a part of you. Like, you know it so well and you love it so much that you can go to an audition and it's just already in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's already like your world.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense that you get that job.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into In the Heights, and it already has such a huge following. You're going into a family of people, as we know.
Yeah.
Like this, they are a close, creative group of people. What did that feel like? What was the energy like when you joined?
Well, the whole thing. So I had done one show before, which was Wicked. But when I joined Wicked, it was already a thing. Like it was up and running, and it was like this big. There was multiple companies. So when I went into In the Heights, they were just making their move to Broadway. Everything was like, I had stars in my eyes because it was like it was the first time I was rehearsing with a full cast. Like when I went into Wicked, I rehearsed by myself, running the track by myself, and having music rehearsals with everybody. Oh, funny story, by the way. I just recently was getting rid of my old iPod.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd give it to my mom. And on that iPod are the rehearsal. I recorded my rehearsals onto my iPad. So I stumbled across In the Heights rehearsal footage.
Wow.
Like sound music rehearsal stuff. But anyway.
Don't throw that out.
I was like, what is this? Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But So it was a totally new experience.
Yeah.
I hadn't, as part of an original cast. And thankfully, I wasn't the only new person. It was me, Krista Rodriguez, and Rogelio Douglas were the three people who, like, were joining in the move to Broadway.
Right.
So it was good that I wasn't the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. It's because it can be like very alienating when you're the new kid at school, mm-hmm. basically, and they've got this really good thing, and you're like, mm-hmm. I want to. I mean, that's how I felt going into Hamilton. Yeah. You know, it's like you want to make sure that you're adding to
right.
the good vibe,
yeah.
not taking away. So it's good to have some buddies who feel the same way.
Yeah.
So you open on Broadway. You guys win the Tony. It's, I mean, what was that?
So much fun. And it's still the only cast recording I've ever done.
Right.
So that was a blast. And the Tonys was a blast. We got to perform on the Tonys. And yeah. then we won. And then we all got to, first of all, we got to have tickets. Like, I've not done that since
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
So we got to be at the Tonys. My parents were there. Wow. And then we won. And then I remember I had this dress that had, like, a train. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. Because
you're the Tonys. Get a train.
Everyone kept stepping on my dress. It was so annoying. But anyway, so I remember, like, pulling the train up and like running down the aisle to come up stage. It was so fun.
I will never forget watching you guys win the Tony. I mean, I think that it is, you know, part of the success of Lynn and Tommy and Lack, Alex Lackamore and Andy is their enthusiasm and the people that they bring together mm-hmm. and the family that they've created. And we've talked about this a bunch of times whenever I talk to somebody from Hamilton, but I think that makes the work so much better. And you see that moment of Lynn and them winning the Tony. It's maybe the most glorious win of a Best Musical ever, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Because, I mean, it's also like insane. He wrote it in college. I know. Story of that show. So like, to be a part of that moment, I think is a unique part of Broadway history.
Yeah.
I really, really do. And especially now.
Yeah.
See that, like, that was just a beginning of a story.
I can't wait till there's the In the Heights revival.
Yeah.
There's going to be, right? Well, right?
Well, listen, at this point, like right now, I'm sure there's tons of people who want to make that happen today.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And I'm thinking maybe Stephanie Clemens will choreograph.
Yes. Yes. So you have that experience. And so now you're kind of hooked into the musical theater world, mm-hmm. right? Like maybe you didn't think of that when you were growing up. But now.
Right. Yeah. No.
This is your world.
Yeah. So then it was like scramble, get into as many voice lessons as possible and acting classes and like trying to catch up, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Because it wasn't the thing that you weren't learning all three disciplines as you grew up. You were focused on dance and then it was just.
And I feel like a lot of people know early on that they want to do Broadway or they grew up watching Broadway or like.
Right.
So it always felt like a little bit of a different world to me. So trying to catch up.
Yeah. Well, I think you're there. I think you've done it. But it's got to be, and you've done a bunch of other shows, Ghost,
mm-hmm.
you did Shuffle Along,
mm-hmm.
Which is just a gloriously beautiful show.
Yeah.
It is, it was so fantastic. It was actually, like, overwhelming to see all the talent and mm-hmm. and that story and then that moment in time.
Yeah.
What was it like to... For that show, you were there from the beginning when it was created.
Yeah.
So what was it like to be a part of the creation of that show?
Well, when we started, I didn't even know what it was for. Right. I got a phone call from Marshall Davis Jr., who assisted Savion. He was like, we're just going to get in a studio and like play around. So I didn't really know what it was, but... Of course, I was like,
I'll be there. Yeah.
So there was a lot. It was a long time of sort of it growing into what it became.
Yeah.
But it had been a while until I knew that they were even what it was going to be. What it was
right.
going to be. So, but yeah, being around Audra, holy moly.
Yeah.
Like, I knew, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
She's major.
Yeah.
Like, just such an inspiration. But so being around that, and then also being like, I've tapped since I was very young. Yeah. But tap is another world where I feel like I don't quite belong. Like, I can tap, but I don't consider myself a tapper.
Well, okay. But that was the greatest tapping in the world happening on that stage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're saying like, oh, you are a tapper. But I know what you're saying because that was literally the greatest tapping on Broadway.
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets.
Savion is a genius, hands down. So that was really scary, but also like really exciting.
Yeah.
So, I'm so happy that I got to do that. You know, it's just crazy to me now, and it's come and gone, and I'm still like, did that really happen?
Yeah. Oh, it happened. I saw it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was watching something where you had every person on that stage was the greatest actor, singer, dancer, overall performer at the top of their game, coming together to tell the most unlikely of stories that at the most important time it needed to be told. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wish that it had lasted years, but the fact that it was created and done, I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was really, really special.
Yeah.
So you're a part of that, and it's difficult when anything closes, especially something so great. I don't know how much time there was in between this job and that.
We closed, I think, in July.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
That's summer. And we started this in January.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you know, you're like, okay, there's that Hamilton, my family members from In the Heights got that thing going on. Maybe I can hang out with the family, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like I've joked about this before that I love the family that has been created from In the Heights, and I feel so close to it that sometimes I think I was in the Heights. I was the like Irish drunk on a stoop in the back, you know? I just think it's so powerful and it's great, and I love being around that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did that feel like coming back into that world?
Well, I know that a bunch of them came to see Shuffle Along.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing Lack in the front row of the orchestra, of the mezzanine, rather, and being like, oh, my gosh, Lack is here. Like, I could see his face, you know. But, no, so a bunch of them came to see Shuffle Along, and I know that they knew we were closing.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to scoop up a bunch of people because, of course, Brandon and Josh.
Amber.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. So that was cool. I didn't actually, like, we knew Brandon was going over, I think, before we closed or right around the time that we closed. I didn't know that I was going to be here until, you know, pretty late. I think maybe even November or December.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's just cool. I love that there's like that, just come be with this part of the family. This is what we're doing now. You know?
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, a company. And I would have loved to have been a part of a theater company at some point. And I think in Broadway, that's as close as it gets, mm-hmm. is to like have a group of people who have a mutual respect and love for being in a room with each other and creating.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad group of people to be with.
I mean, I remember when the Chicago company was just starting, I remember wanting to be seen for the Chicago company and telling my agent, like, what's up with Hamilton Chicago?
Right.
I couldn't get an appointment, but then they just called me in for this. So it's like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And
they're like, no, we got somewhere for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing being a part of this show because it is doing something for diversity that no other show has ever done before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it brings up it puts it in a conversation into people's minds that sometimes they forget to even have.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to you, first of all, just about having such a diverse show with the content of what the show mm-hmm. is, and also just if you could talk a little bit about your experience of mm-hmm. being a woman of color in this business.
Yeah. So first of all, I've done a bunch of shows, and I've done shows where it's mostly white and like one black person.
Right.
I've done shows where it's all black people. Mm. This is the first time ever that I've done a show where it's just like not a thing.
Right.
It's not a thing.
Right.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
To start with. But so I'm black and white, I'm mixed, and it's a thing for me. because I'm, and it's something that I'm learning about myself and like learning how to work my way through it, or navigate it. But I'm very light skinned. And so I have this thing where like when I go into an audition for, you know, a black track mm-hmm. and that happens, there are days when I go into a casting office and it's all black women and I'm like, oh, so this is the black person track that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And do I consider myself a black woman, but if there's going to be one track,
right.
Do I even want it to be me? Because from the stage, I don't particularly look black, I don't think, you know, from a distance. So I have like all these thoughts about it. And being in an all black show was also super emotional for me as well, because it felt like acceptance as well.
Yeah.
But being in this cast where it's such not a thing is just so amazing. Like, and it's a really big deal. And I don't think, I mean, I'm surprised more people aren't talking about it.
When you say more people are talking about it, like in the cast, or you mean like just in general?
In general. Like I kind of like that it's not a thing, that people aren't like
right.
talking about it all the time, but it's also so unusual, I think, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that it's really kind of changed everyone's outlook on what it means to cast and what it is mm-hmm. to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just announced that our own Joshua Henry is going to be in Carousel as the leading man. And he'll be Billy Bigelow. And of course he'll be Billy Bigelow.
Yeah.
Of, like, no one else is better to play Billy Bigelow, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that before Hamilton...
Right.
That it would have been offered to him.
Right.
And now, you know, like, that's not my right to say. Like, he can say what he thinks. But I do think that the casting of this show kind of did away with everyone trying to put like boundaries around what parts could and couldn't be played by people of
right.
different ethnicities.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that, you know, like as a gay person, a lot of times I have like somewhat of an idea of what it feels like. You know, you talk about like going into a room with women who are all black and you're
or
like,
Or
all white.
It happens both ways. Both ways. Sure. I come into the room and I'm like, oh, I don't quite
that's
match
gotta be,
that's, what's happening here.
That's like, got to be both sides of the coin for mm-hmm. you. So a lot of times when I get a breakdown, which is 90% of the time, that is sassy gay man, you know, this, you know, and I'm like, oh, God, I hope I can be sassy enough
right.
today. You know, I'm not that sassy.
Right.
I'm going to try. But, you know, like, it's, I think that doesn't surprise me that you walk into a room of all black women and your first concern isn't about if you're going to get the part. Your concern, Offer's concern, is it right for me to be representing?
Well, because it's like, it becomes a responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and
I think that's a peek into your soul.
Yeah.
Of who you are.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if there's going to be one, you know what I mean? It, like, I don't know. I get upset sometimes when I see shows and it's like the one person is...
The one person is of color And you could be like, wait, are they?
Right.
Or is the, you know, like, and I'm sure that that's a difficult position to be in on, because you see both, not both sides, but you understand it better than probably anybody else.
Yeah. Or do I? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's such, there's so much, so many levels to it all, and like,
there is. There is. And we're going to solve them all here right now on this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, the other part of being a woman in this business, though, I mean, not just being of color, but being a woman, like, a lot of stuff is body image, and I feel a lot of pressure. Do you feel like there's still just a huge amount of pressure on women or just people in general when you're on stage to have a lot of pressure on everybody to look a certain way or to be a certain way?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't, you know, body image for me is not something that I think about so much,
yeah.
But it's the same thing. Like, when I go into a room, an audition room, and everyone's got the same color lipstick on and they have their hair curled the same way, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's similar to body image in that it's like something you can't really control.
It's just who you are.
Yeah. And yet you're sort of looking around like, do I fit?
Right.
But yeah, I'm sure there is. Like I said, for me, it's not something that I have struggled with thinking about, but I'm sure, I mean, yes, I think there is for sure pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. You are a very kind soul. You are, I think of you as being kind of like someone who quietly wants to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You're not loud about it. But I know that already you have done outreach to organizations to help kids.
Yeah.
You've brought kids to this show.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about what you did? Even I'm forcing you to do it now. Okay. and why that's important to you.
Yeah. Well, when we got here, I reached out to a organization called Hamilton Families, who helps families who are dealing with homelessness, and sort of supports them through crisis and finding temporary housing and permanent housing and all that. And I really, I mean, I did it for them, but I also did it for me, you know, like,
yeah.
I think it's really, I don't know, it helps me to get out of myself.
Right.
And, it helps me to get out of myself, so.
Especially when we're in a career where so much of what we do every single day is just about us,
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, though, like a lot of actors, especially when they're putting a show up on its feet, would say, I can't be bothered with that. I'm busy. I'm learning Hamilton,
yeah.
an American musical right now. So it would be pretty easy to just not do that.
Yeah.
Like, have you found that by putting yourself in those positions and doing the work to help somebody else, that has benefited you as an artist as well? And that's why you found it so easy to just do?
I mean, it helps me as a person and as an artist. Like, those two things to me are like the same thing. So if I'm a happier person, I'm going to be a better artist and all that. And you know, I sort of, this opportunity to work with them came up. I reached out to them and we were sort of talking about different dates, and it so happened that they had one that worked for them. And so I thought, yeah, why not? On a Monday, it's not a big deal.
Right.
And it was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, those kids are so awesome. So, and it just feels good. Like, it feels good to help out. And
it's amazing. Like, it's, yes, you say it on paper, it feels good, But that doesn't mean that people actually go through with it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That it's, I think people get scared. They feel like I don't know how to help. Yeah. I don't know how to reach out to an organization and see what I can do.
Yeah.
But I'm so impressed by you that you did that.
Thanks.
And that you are clearly someone who, as you said, sees being an artist and a human being as the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about that a lot now that you said that. I really am.
And you said about being, people don't do things because they're scared. And that's definitely true of me, too. And it's something that I'm, like, definitely working on this year is seeing that I'm scared of something and doing it anyway.
Right.
Because I don't want to live my life not doing things because I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things you could be scared of.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, for me, that's what the gift of doing this show has been, is that I've kind of like taken a lot of things on that I've always been afraid of because I'm like, you know, I am somehow a part of something that is bringing all these wonderful people into my life that is, you know, so thrilling. Life is so short. Just push through that fear and do it, which is like why I'm sitting in front of a microphone talking to you. You know what I mean? And so I feel like this show has really given us all that permission to do those types of things.
I feel so spoiled. Like just when we haven't even been open that long.
Yeah.
But I feel like everybody has been so nice to us and like just.
Yeah. Well, we've been around long enough to know this is not normal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that I got to sit down with you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
too.
For talking
Thanks
with
for
me.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, and I'm really sorry that I cut you off while on stage today. We don't have any interaction on stage. Zero. Except every time I am exiting or entering the stage, I am like in your way.
No,
that is my job,
no.
is to be like, la di da. And literally, you know what I'm talking about. Today, when I come after my song, when you make that 29,000 troops in New York Club, surround the troops, when you're coming on, I like, sometimes I just blindly walk. And you're like, Rory, I have to come out first before you come out.
But I don't know. I don't feel like I have to come out first, but I'm coming out first because I was told to do it. I'm
going
to do it. But
you are supposed to do it. You know, like that. That's how the machine was made.
You also have a lot of fabric.
I have a
lot
of fabric.
So I feel like I should be getting out of your way because you're a lot.
No, it's totally you. And also, I never understand how you do it or how anyone in your track has done it because I have to get out of your way first when you go across the stage in front of me. When
I'm like running laps around you.
Yes. You come out in the front of the stage as I'm walking, and then by the time I get to the back of the stage just walking, you're already coming back from the back of the stage again. It's hard. No one's going to understand what I just said, but basically you are performing miracles and I don't know what's happening. Thank you so much for talking with me. I am so excited to get to know you even better as we continue on the Hamill tour.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.